Welcome to the program God and Country, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's God and Country will be somewhat different. Today is a church history program. And what I'd like to speak about is Justin Martyr's Apologia. Justin Martyr was one of the early church fathers. He lived from about 100 to 160 AD. So here was a Christian who may have spoken with some of the people who knew the apostles. Church fathers is a title given to early church theologians or pastors, just like we call the writers of our Declaration of Independence founding fathers. Now, much could be said about the life of Justin, but what I'd like to focus on is his apologia, his work defending the Christian faith before the Romans. In fact, he writes his work to the Roman emperor at this time, Antoninus Pius, who ruled from 138 to 161. And in that, Justin made a 30-page defense of the Christian faith and Christian morals before the Roman government. This is something that we should look at on God and Country. Because what Justin did is exactly what Christians are involved in once again in the 21st century. Defending the truth claims of Christianity before a pagan government. And undoubtedly, there are some timeless lessons from Justin's apologetics that we can apply to our apologetics. Because certainly the early church fathers were no slouches when it came to defending the faith. And the first thing I would like us to consider is the work of apologetics itself. The word apologetics is a biblical word. It comes from 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. The word there, make a defense, is the Greek word apologia. It doesn't mean to apologize, but it means to give a reason or an explanation for the truth of Christ. And the word in that text, to give an account or to give a reason, is the Greek word logon from the word logos, which refers to using rational arguments and thought. And so we are to use reason and logic and empirical evidence to prove the truth claims of Christianity. Don't fall into the error that Christianity is an irrational leap of faith, when in fact reason and logic are the servants of theology. And 1 Peter 3:15 is not a suggestion. It's a command. Make a defense. And the apostles themselves set an example. You may have forgotten that the entire book of Luke and the book of Acts were written to a man by the name of Theophilus so that he might know the exact truths about the things he had been taught. Now, Theophilus could have been a man's name or a generic title, for the name means one seeking wisdom from God. Notice also Paul set the example by debating the philosophers on Mars Hill. And then Paul took on the politicians, the Sanhedrin, Festus, Agrippa, and even the emperor of Rome. Paul did not write, "Don't bother with these intellectuals and these magistrates. Just work with the people who show up at church." No, we're to persuade all men. So we are to do apologetics. In addition to all of the other things you add to your faith, the knowledge of Christ, the attributes of God, the Genesis chronology, eschatology, ecclesiology, evangelism, missions, also learn Christian apologetics. So Justin begins his work to the Emperor Titus Antoninus Pius Augustus Caesar. and to his son, Verissimus, the philosopher, and to Lucius the philosopher, the natural son of Caesar, and the adopted son of Pius, a lover of learning, and to the sacred Senate, and to the whole people of Rome. I, Justin, present this address and petition in behalf of those of all nations who are unjustly hated and wantonly abused, myself being one of them. Who are the them? Those people in the empire called Christians. Antoninus Pius was considered one of the good emperors. But by the middle of the second century, the Christians had already been through four major persecutions. But then came Justin Martyr in about 140 AD, and this might have seemed like a time of peace for the Christians since there was no empire-wide persecution. But many of the local officials in the Roman Empire ran their own show. And so Christians were always being persecuted at some place in the empire, even when the emperor himself was not engaged in direct Christian persecution. In fact, Justin himself was put to death by a local official, even though there was no empire-wide persecution. Right after Justin Martyr died, the new emperor, Marcus Aurelius, conducted what is called today the fifth major empire-wide persecution of the Christians. Now, one might think a lot of good Justin's apologetics did. But the lesson here is that when we defend the Christian faith, with tracts and books and programs and movies, it may take 100 years before the fruit of our labor is seen. And in the case of the early church, all the efforts of the church fathers paid off in 325, when Christianity was legalized, and in the 5th century, with the passage of all the Theodosian Christian moral laws. Those who laid the foundation for this great cultural change never saw the payoff during their earthly lives. And so also with the work that we do in apologetics today, against our culture that is given over to secular humanism, don't give up. Think long term. But what I would like to now do is list some of the points that Justin makes in his apologia. But before I list the points, what do you think he wrote? If you were living in the second century, what would you have written to the emperor? Would you have written, "Stop persecuting Christians, you pompous, vile, egotistical sack of putrefied, vile garbage"? I don't think so. But what truths should you have brought out? How would you ask the emperor to stop the wickedness and at the same time to show the love of Christ? So think about our own day. But let's take ourselves out of our present circumstances. If we were living in the year 2650, what would you write back to Christians living in 2017 as to how to defend the faith? You would probably see things that those living in 2017 could not see, such as those living in 2017 probably didn't realize that their persecution would be the biggest boon for church growth and to discredit unbelievers. Or that the good works of the believers and their excellent behavior in 2017 made the biggest impact. Well, let me share at least 5 points that Justin makes in his work. The first point, that is quite an amazement, is that Justin could tell the emperor that the Christians were the best citizens in the empire. The critics of Christianity were accusing Christians of sedition against the empire. But Justin wrote, "We are the most excellent people." We pledge ourselves to do no wickedness. We are patient when injured, ready to serve all, free from anger. Because Jesus taught us that if someone smites us on one cheek, we're to offer him the other also. We do not lie, but we speak the truth. We endeavor to pay to those appointed by you the taxes, both ordinary and extraordinary. We gladly serve you, acknowledging you as king and rulers of men, and praying for you. Now, this says a lot to the culture, that the Christians are not the ones rioting in the streets, breaking the laws, screaming the F word, looting, vandalizing, drugging, drinking, loafing. Now compare that testimony to the current testimony of Islam, the religion that is now terrorizing the world. And in that, Islam is actually making an apologetic against Islam. And Justin, in his apologetic, writes that if you find anyone who claims to be a Christian who is acting unlawful, first, he's probably not a true Christian. And second, turn him over to us and we will punish him ourselves. Justin writes, if any charge be substantiated against Christians, they should be punished as they deserved. Now, what a difference between this and the Islamists who will not speak out against the abuses of Islamic terrorists. In fact, they excuse the behavior of their own people, saying that it's the non-Islamists who are at fault for stirring up the terrorism in the Islamic faith. And what a difference between Justin's point and what the secular left is now saying. That in our leftist lawlessness, you shouldn't be arresting us. We should have the right to protest. We should have the right to be angry, to break things, to disrupt society. It is just very, very important that the Christian community in America behaves lawful, kind, patient, loving. And one of the problems Christians have in identifying with certain conservatives and the Republican Party is that we get lumped in with red meat, libertarian hotheads, even the alternative right. And I suspect in the next few years, Christians are going to have to distance themselves from these Pharisees. Now, I'm not of the opinion that Christians need to completely stay out of politics in order to have a better testimony. Some Christians teach that we should stay out altogether lest we upset people. Well, that's not biblical. We do need to engage, but we need to be very, very careful. And aren't we all grieved when some of our own people speak with pride and arrogance? So, the first apologetic of Justin is not doctrine, but an exposé of Christian behavior. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So, if you don't get anything else from today's program, get that. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to quickly give you four more points and let you think about most of the application. Second, Justin Martyr goes on to explain that the real wickedness in the culture is being done by the pagans. He goes on to expose the sins of the philosophers and the idolaters, the sins of those persecuting the Christians. They are the ones raping boys and girls, delighting in fornication. They are the ones who yield to unreasonable passions. They're involved in human trafficking, the killing of infants, abandoning them in the streets. They are the ones ruled by demons. They are the ones who are logically inconsistent, superstitious, and senseless. And Justin goes on to explain how Christians were formerly such people, but they have repented and changed their ways. Quote, many who once were of your way of thinking have changed their violent and tyrannical disposition. We who formerly delighted in fornication now embrace chastity. We who formerly used magical arts dedicate ourselves to the good and unbegotten God. So how often do you hear that argument being made today? Rarely. Maybe because in our culture, it's a taboo to point out people's faults. But if we would put aside our political correctness and point to the bad behavior of those outside of Christ, that would be a very strong apologetic for the faith. Jesus said, "By their fruit you will know them," and the unsaved live debauched lives. Look at what 50 years of secular humanism, feminism, the sexual revolution, racism has given to us. Broken homes, drugs, suicide, violence, slums, terrible schools. And do you see how over the last generation, the left has been turning this all around upon us by claiming that when Christianity ruled in America, we had slavery, women were mistreated, the people were uneducated, and we believe it. But it's a lie. Those were the unsaved people of the 1900s. The secularists own those crimes like they own social crimes today. The way of Christ needs to be presented for what it is. The way of peace, civility, happiness, success. Never let the secularists get away with blaming their fruit on the Christians. Oh, and by the way, Justin actually addresses this problem of the pagan Romans projecting their own sins on the Christians. Third, Justin addresses the charge that Christians are atheists because they do not worship the Roman gods in the Roman temples. Now that's strange. Who would have thought that Christians would be accused of being atheists? But that's the way it was in the second century. And at first you would think that that would not apply to today because Christians are no longer accused of atheism. But actually, it still applies because Christians are today being accused of not believing in the modern mythology and the superstition of Darwinism, that everything came into being by time and chance, and Christians do not believe in the modern nature worship mythology of global warming, or believe in the racism of identity politics, or we don't believe in the myth that gender is a choice. So today Christians are being accused of being non-believers of many things. And the point Justin makes is that the myth and the superstition is not coming from Christianity. It's coming from the unsaved, the secularists. Remember, the problem with atheism is not that it believes nothing, but that it eventually believes anything. Fourth, Justin then makes the point that the Roman government can't hurt the Christians. No matter what they do, we win. If the government kills us, we win. If the government does nothing to us, we win. And that's a point that we need in our apologetics today. We should not carry around a victim mentality. We should not convey fear or worry, but we should communicate great confidence. Ecclesiastes 10:4, if the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offense. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Fifth, after these practical matters, Justin then begins to defend the doctrines of the Christian faith. And his argument could be summed up with two major themes. First, even the pagan philosophers acknowledged, at points, the truth of Christianity. Plato believed in God, the unmoved mover. And Plato and many of the other philosophers believed in absolute moral laws. So Justin would refer to pagan philosophers when they got it right. Just like the Apostle Paul quoted the Greek philosopher Artus when debating the philosophers on Mars Hill. And so the appeal here is to common sense, to conscience, to the laws of nature and nature's God, and we need to use such arguments. The next major proof offered by Justin for Christ and Christianity is biblical prophecy. Even as the prophet Isaiah pointed out that only God can tell the end from the beginning. And the fingerprint of God is the telling of future events before they happen. So, those are five major themes in Justin's Apologia. But one final observation. As I was studying his work, I cringed quite often because Justin made many theological and practical errors. He said some unbiblical and stupid things that didn't help the cause of Christ, such as Christians not believing in military service. Justin was like a modern-day Quaker, pacifist, which is a complete misunderstanding of Jesus' teachings. Justin believed that because of Jesus, all nations should no longer go to war. We should beat our swords into plowshares, as the Old Testament prophets spoke about concerning the millennium. Justin also spoke in terms of baptismal regeneration, that Christians are regenerated at water baptism. Justin also spiritualized many Old Testament texts, gave wrong interpretations, made some silly arguments about the cross being in the human form. He misunderstood the Lord's Supper. He espoused the Jewish myth that demons intermarried with people and created giants on the earth. And at points in his apologia, he rambled on and on and said way too much. He forgot that he was writing to the emperor and not the church choir. But given the day, Justin Martyr did not have the theological training that we have today. He probably didn't even possess an entire copy of the New Testament. And Justin was no Augustine, he was no Calvin, he was no Luther. But don't we all make mistakes? And so we should find comfort in the fact that even in our weakness, God can use us. So don't quit just because you're not perfect. For all Justin's faults, at least he was doing the work that God called him to do. So let's do apologetics. And let's do lots of it, with books and programs and YouTubes and tweets and articles and Christian education. Even if we're tripping over each other, so that the truth of Christ will always be in front of this lost world. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website to listen to this program again or to download it, or to send a link to a friend, is godandcountryradio.org. And if you email me, I will send you an email weekly with a one-paragraph synopsis of each upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today and for making God and Country a part of your discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Now, Lord, we pray for help in doing what you've commanded us to do. To go into all the world and to preach the gospel. To make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account for the hope that we have in Christ. In whose name we pray, amen.